its current state. I'm Mark Bayshore. Now that we're into the new year, you might be thinking, I'm ready to give myself a makeover. Well, it's not just people who have that impulse. Entire communities plan what they'll look like in the future. And that often means getting rid of outdated eyesores. That's a polite description of what cities large and small constantly deal with, urban blight. The city of Lansing has recently received a federal grant to eliminate blighted properties, and current state's Kevin Lavery is here to tell us more. Kevin, how much did Lansing get this time around?
$6 million, Mark.
Okay.
We can rebuild it. We have the technology. Lansing is one of 12 cities in Michigan that's sharing a $75 million federal grant. Detroit, far and away, got the biggest slice of the pie, $50 million. But Lansing got the second highest total. And this funding is what's part of what's called the hardest hit program. It's a federal initiative designed to protect homeowners from foreclosure. Jeff Burdick is the executive director of the Ingham County Land Bank, and we met at the site of one very blighted home off of Kalamazoo Street on Lansing's east side, which will have a date with a bulldozer sometime in the near future.
We are on Lansing's east side, as you said. We're at 422 Regent, which is a property that the land bank owns. It was a tax foreclosure in, I believe, 2013, and it's one of the many properties that we have slated to demolish that are blighted in Lansing through the hardest hit funds that we in Lansing received. You can see there was a hole in the roof of the porch, so it's not very sturdy. See if this key works. Yep. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yep. There's still an old, gosh, I don't know what year that computer is from, but there's a desktop computer. And
the desktop computer is the most minimal thing in this room. This room looks like a Scud missile hit it.
Yeah. You could see the ceiling. All the drywall's fallen to the ground. We're kind of stepping on it right now.
How long has this house been vacant, Jeff?
This house has been vacant. When we received it, it was vacant, I believe. So, you know, I want to say at least 2 years, but probably more than that.
And do we know how old it is? I'm guessing 1920s easily.
Probably 1920s, maybe 1930s at the latest. Most of the housing stock here was built around that time.
So obviously it is really a mess in here, but if you were to look at this house from the outside, yes, it's old, yes, it's run down, but it's an older neighborhood. So if you didn't see the inside of this and know it was vacant, how would you be able to say, okay, this property is blight, it's pulling down the values of the other properties and needs to be removed? I mean, how do you distinguish old from eyesore?
Well, there's a lot of different things that go into blight, and blight affects a lot of different facets of life. So, I mean, you obviously have the economic impacts of blight and property values of surrounding neighboring properties and how those are depressed because of a empty foreclosed structure next door to them. And you also have, we didn't see this on our way in, but you see a lot of critters' footprints out here. And obviously, critters are looking for a warm place to stay, and they get into these. It's not uncommon to find, dog or cat droppings, so to speak, in some of these homes. And in the summertime, it's not uncommon to get calls from neighbors saying that not only are they noticing a smell coming from some of these homes, but they're noticing animals and other things getting in and out of these homes. So, you know, if you got your economic impacts, the negative economic impacts of blight, you've got the public health and public safety impacts. And then you just have, I think, the perception. You know, if somebody walks down the street and they see a home with a hole in the roof and it continuing to sit there empty, you know, year upon year, it, you know, doesn't, you know, feed into a very good perception of the neighborhood in which they're either walking in or, you know, if they happen to live there, the neighborhood they live in. So
we're talking with Jeff Burdick, the executive director of the Ingham County Land Bank. We are on Lansing's east side in a vacant home, approaching 100 years old. It's just a mess. It's been vacant for at least 2 years. Jeff, Lansing has recently received about $6 million from the federal government, the Treasury Department, to eradicate blight. 12 cities in Michigan received funding. Detroit, as you can imagine, got the lion's share, $50 million. But Lansing was second highest on that list. Why did Lansing fare so well? That tells me that the scope of the problem is fairly substantial here.
It's pretty substantial. The land bank actually has identified approximately 196 properties that we own that we have determined need to be demolished most likely. Now, there's some that are in worse condition than others, this one being one of those. So we're going to do a little bit more of an examination to prioritize which ones are in worse condition. So those are the ones that we need to get down first with this grant funding. So it's not surprising to me that we're second most behind Detroit, because some of the other cities were Ironwood up in the Upper Peninsula, Muskegon Heights, which has its share of challenges, but is a lot smaller, Inkster, Ecorse, those types of cities. But the scope of the problem in Lansing, is still quite large, not compared to some of those other cities like Detroit, Flint, and Saginaw, but it's, like I said, there's 196 properties that we just own through tax foreclosure that we've deemed needing to be demolished. So, that's not, vast majority of the city by any means, but it's a good amount of properties.
How do you find the threshold between rehab potential and loss costs? I don't think we're looking at a rehab here.
That's really the biggest question. And it's sometimes pretty difficult, because we'll get some properties that are kind of on the edge there, and it's not a clear, decisive line. But generally what we'll do is we have folks on our staff that have even more knowledge of worked in construction and whatnot. And they can come in here and they'll look and they'll see some of roof. They'll look mostly at roof, foundation, some of the things that lead to the integrity of a building. And if they're compromised, then that's going to tell you right there and then that there's a good chance that the property might not be worth saving, unfortunately. Now, you could put as much money into any property and renovate it, but you also look at what the values of are of homes in that neighborhood. And if you need to put, let's say, $200,000 into a home and you're only going to be able to sell for $70,000 and you don't have any subsidy or any other types of programs that are going to provide that type of funding for you, then yeah, it's unfortunately most likely a property that's going to need to come down, because there's not going to be anybody in the private market that's going to take that on, because they're not going to make money. And if we or the city don't have subsidy to do anything with those properties, then they're just going to sit there and continue to decay year after year. So if this property wasn't demolished and we came in here a year from now, it would be much worse.
When a home in a neighborhood that's well established is razed, it leaves just a very small blip on the landscape. But what does that mean for the contiguous nature of the neighborhood, the way the neighborhood looks consistent, feels consistent? Mm-hmm. Is there a way to replace it with something that still keeps the neighborhood a livable, mm-hmm. desirable place?
Definitely. I mean, that's the biggest question that we're getting. And there's a lot of folks out there that are concerned about this amount of demolition happening in Lansing, because it's going to decrease the housing stock. It's going to create what, the missing tooth factor, as people like to refer to it, as going down a street and they see a house upon house and all of a sudden there's a vacant lot. In this particular case on this street, these are pretty narrow lots. They're about maybe 30, 33 feet in width. And the houses that are right next door to the house that we're in are almost, right on top of this home. There's maybe 10 feet between the two homes. So once this house is down, it's not a ideal infill candidate for new housing. So it would best be served as a side lot for the neighbor. There's a really burgeoning urban gardening program as well, especially on Lansing's east side. And there's a lot of folks out there that are looking to beautify and garden these properties. So those are good interim uses until, hopefully in some cases, depending on the size of the lot, a new house can be built in the future. So demolition is not, it seems permanent because a house is no longer there and you now have a vacant lot, but it's not as permanent as people make it out to be. This house didn't get like this overnight, and just because this house comes down doesn't mean that 20, 30, 40 years from now there's not going to be something in its place, but it's probably not going to happen overnight.
A community garden could really be nice. I mean, that takes this property from something that no one wants nearby to something that maybe everybody wants nearby.
Yes. One thing I didn't mention is that the Land Policy Institute at Michigan State University, they did a economic impact study in 2013. What they found is that properties within 1,000 feet of a blighted structure that needs to come down, are the values of those properties are 11.5% less, or decreased by 11.5% due to the location next close to that blighted property. So Replacing this property with an urban garden or something a little bit more obviously vibrant than an abandoned house would serve to, I think, stabilize the property values of the neighbors here. So it was good for the neighbors from an economic standpoint. And like you said, it's good from just a pure visual and I think a psychological standpoint. The person walking down the street, walking down the sidewalk, will no longer look and see a home that's dilapidated with a hole in the roof, but might see either a nice lot that's fenced in with its neighbor or a garden.
We're talking with Jeff Burdick, the executive director of the Ingham County Land Bank. Is there an overall strategy for the city in terms of targeted areas and why those decisions are made in those places?
We looked at the northwest side of Lansing, where there's a fair amount of housing that the land bank owns that's been taxed for clothes that's blighted. The south side of Lansing, which is a much larger geographic area, and then what we're calling kind of the near south side, which is what this is considered in terms of our mapping. We took the properties that we had already visited and determined needed to be demolished, those 196 properties. We mapped those out and saw where the concentrations were. And we also looked at where we've done previous investments, so where we've done renovation, rehab in the past, and we're able to map those in comparison to where these blighted properties were. And it painted a picture on a map that, yes, it's pretty obvious that we need to focus on this particular area because not only is there a large concentration of blight, but it might also be close or nearby in an area where we've previously invested. And in this particular neighborhood, we're along the East Kalamazoo corridor. So we're really, you know, a bike ride down from Michigan State's campus and the other way downtown Lansing. So I think it makes sense to try to stabilize these neighborhoods as best as you can. And when you have a house that's this far gone, and if it's going to continue to sit here like this, it's going to only, I think, further bring down a neighborhood that has a lot of potential because of its location.
Jeff Burdick is the executive director of the Ingham County Land Bank. Jeff, let's close the door on this house for now and come back to it when the time is right.
Sure thing, Kevin.
For Current States, I'm Kevin Lavery.